Keep It is brought to you by Coded Justice, a thriller by Stacey Abrams. Do you like my thriller voice?
I'm sorry, I was chilled to the bone. You were like Vincent Price. Avery Keene is back for justice in a prescient new thriller in the number one New York Times bestselling series from Stacey Abrams. Coded Justice follows Avery down a dark rabbit hole into the breathtaking and dangerously evolving world of AI in the medical industry. In Coded Justice, Stacey Abrams' storytelling prowess is on full display, a deft combination of riveting twists and vibrant characters set against the fascinating landscape of the capabilities of artificial intelligence and the moral boundaries that govern it. Coded Justice is Abrams' most entertaining novel to date.
Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold. Click the link in our show notes to learn more. And we are back for an all-new Keep It. Captain's Log, Stardate 9529.1. This is the final cruise of the Keep It Enterprise for Ira Madison III.
Oh my God, I wish I had ever seen that show or could make a reference that would help me navigate that, but I can't. I'm Louis Fertel. I will be remaining with the Enterprise, is what you called us.
Is this my first Star Trek reference on the show ever?
Well, legally it has to be, because I'm sure I have it written that you can't do that. But two things. One, happy birthday, Ira, which was now 2 days ago. Thank you for testing the age of 39 for me, because I will be turning it next week, and I'm very scared. And you seem to be alive, so I'm thrilled.
I know why you're throwing a lady's age out there like that.
Oh, I know. Sorry. But my second message to you is, go fuck yourself. You're leaving the show.
Thank you. You know, for a happy birthday.
Yes.
And I don't know. Yeah, it's very weird. It feels real now, I guess. Or does it feel real?
That's just it. It doesn't feel real to me. That's just it. Like whenever people reference things that happens on the show, whenever, it truly is just talking to me. It's like you're referencing a conversation I had one time. And I'm like, let me think back to that. And also, it's in the morning where I'm just going to say, you and I don't do our best work, generally speaking. So, like, my brain isn't fully formed. Like the hemispheres aren't fully functioning yet.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's take it back to the original days of Keep It,
okay,
where we used to record at like 8 a.m.
Yes. And we were at the Largo in L.A., which was so whack.
The original little ramshackle office of Crooked Media.
Yes, correct. And like, I would never see Amy Mann there, who always performs at the Largo. So I don't know why we were there. And by the way, we lived all the way across town. I lived in Atwater Village and drove forever to get there.
Yeah. And I don't know. The first time we ever did a live show, I remember it was at night. We were drunk.
The one at South by Southwest?
The one at South by Southwest. We were lit.
We waited. We got there really early and then needed something to do in the green room. And they just don't give you many hobbies. They don't give you like a coloring book.
But no, that is just a precursor to the memory lane we're about to go on
Yes.
in this episode. But it's going to be a lot more eventful than what we used to do. Do you recall that we used to do clip shows on this show?
Yes, which is so, like, we're a Norman Lear sitcom in the 70s. We're like, remember that time we got stuck in that elevator or whatever?
What if all the clips were fake this week? We just came up with fake moments.
They're all like what they play for the Oscar nominees when they're read off. It's like Andrea Riseborough and Two Leslie weeping or something.
Some things that happened to me this week, by the way. I went to see a fantastic play.
Oh.
That I would be remiss if I did not bring up. I went to see Ginger Twinsies by Kevin Zak.
Oh. I'm good friends with his brother, but I know Kevin Zak
yes.
too. Yes.
Yeah. I'm friends with his brother too. His brother did my DC tour stop, by
right.
the way, for my
yes.
book. And Kevin's play is a parody of The Parent Trap. It sort of was inspired, I guess. I don't know how long he's been working on it, but about a year and a half ago, Jeffrey Self and I played the twins in a just stage reading of The Parent Trap.
Oh,
and then
okay.
we made it funny. But now this is just a fully realized parody of the movie, but you like do not need to know the movie to enjoy it. I took my friend JT to see it, and he like cracked up. He couldn't even remember like seeing the movie or if he had. And I know it's fucking great.
Oh, I'm so psyched to hear that. Speaking of weird twin movies, I am going to be seeing the fabulous comic Josh Sharp's show in New York this coming week, which he's in the movie Fucking Identical Twins, if you remember that, with just a zany movie. One of the zaniest Megan Mullally showings of all time. But he has this new show where it's him in 1,000 PowerPoint slides, and he just is like whipping through it. And it's very funny, and I can't wait to see it.
Okay, I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
You just see posters that say, ta-da, and it's like, well, I don't like magic.
No.
Keep that hair away from me.
Also, can I just say, my favorite thing about Oprah is how she hates surprises. The whole show is about surprising people. The whole show. It's so hypocritical.
That's why she terrorizes people.
Yeah, right.
I mean, speaking of surprises, remember that was like Ellen's whole thing too?
Oh, right. And you know no one hates surprises less than her. Like, she'll slap you, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of people that we used to talk about ad nauseum on this show, there was a whole, I feel like there's just 3 years where we talked about Ellen.
Well, she is sort of emblematic of the whole 2010s in a way. It's like, aside from Trumpism, there's just so much pop culturalness from that time that has just dissipated. There's no further dialogue about it. And Ellen is kind of that. I mean, it helps that she basically removed herself from entertainment and the continent.
Yes. Actually, when I think about the Ellen Show, I feel like no one was made more like famous by that show than Nicki Minaj.
I completely forgot about that connection. Yeah.
I feel like she was constantly on Ellen all the time.
Yes. And Ellen even dressed as her for Halloween that one time.
Yes. And then she has that lyric, I am DeGeneres Queen, ask Miss Ellen.
Question about her we should just ask more often. What's wrong with her? I'm just saying, can we just get an answer on this? Yeah.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm talking about Nicki right now. Yeah.
What else happened this week?
Oh, God. Well, I'll say this. Have I brought up the singer Somber before? Do you know who this is?
No. Somber?
Yeah. He has a song called Undressed. He has these kind of like longing breakup-y songs. They're really cool melodically, and he produces his music. He's 20 years old. He was on Kimmel last week, and I was excited to see him live. I'll sneak down and watch the people perform their songs if I'm into them. We don't have a celebrity like this right now. This man is easily 6'7" and weighs less than I do.
Wow.
Who else is doing that right now? Like Carol Stricken from the Addams Family? He was Lurch.
I was literally trying to think like who would have been someone like that in the past. Lurch or I feel like there was a tall Beverly Hillbilly.
Was Jethro that tall? He could have been. Yeah. But yeah. Yokels as character actors. Oh, that kid from Power of the Dog. He's a little bit of a tall person. Yeah.
Yes. Of Mice and Men reboot.
Sure. Your favorite reference. Your only literary reference. Cody Smith McPhee is who I was just talking about. Yeah.
Lenny and them rabbits.
Yeah. I think we had a cut joke one time in the show. We were talking about Melania, and you made an Of Mice and Men reference, and they actually cut it for Melania's sake.
Who was our producer then?
I know. They were just being nice.
Being nice to Melania, our queen, our future.
Our future queen.
Kennedy Center honoree. They're going to name the building after her, right?
Oh, I hope there's a Barbara Cook-like tribute to her where, you know, operatic divas walk out and with all of Melania's famous coats or whatever we're honoring her about.
It is so wild that I feel like we see her now.
Melania?
In this era, what we see and hear about her now. The whole first Trump era, which we covered extensively.
Oh, yeah.
The whole joke was that the bitch couldn't be found.
Right. And then something in the contract shifted. They changed the terms. They're like, you have to put in appearances.
Yeah. Listen, we covered Trump presidency number one, Biden's.
Yeah.
And Trump presidency number two.
It really always annoyed me that in the logline for this podcast, it was like, where politics and pop culture collide. I was like, can it just be pop culture and pop culture colliding? What about that? We have all these other people who want to talk about that shit.
Well, you know, we're Crooked Media.
Right. So we had to put up appearances for a while before I turned my glance only to the discography of Madonna.
Okay. What are we talking about this episode?
Very little. We're going to get into...
Well, it's over.
Yes. We're going to get into some of the classic Keep It moments that Ira and I have shared. We'll investigate them. Some of these are very old, by the way. So I'll have to jog my memory and see what I can even recall of them. But we'll get into those. We also took questions and comments about the show from seemingly longtime listeners. And we'll respond to those and hopefully have answers for you. And then I guess we'll have one final Keep It. And hopefully that'll be productive and we'll both learn something from it.
We're going to transvestigate Candace Owens.
Oh my God. Just the other day, I said, do people use the word transgender as in what's on the transgender tonight? And it turns out I have asked my friends that before I found it in a text. So I'm like, it's fully still Alice. I don't remember what I've said before.
Maybe we'll bring that up in the Keep It segment. It's so kooky.
Wait, are you talking about Candace Owens?
I'm talking about Candace Owens.
Wait, what did she do this time?
Oh, baby, she's being sued by the president of France and his wife.
That is so... Oh, right. But I knew that. Yes. I knew that. Yes,
because she has her whole theory that...
About the wife being transgender. Yeah, that's very annoying. Okay.
It's actually just very funny that she doubled down on it and made a series because, as you know... This is how she backdoored people into her like transphobic and racist shit by talking about the Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively case.
No, right. She turned like that was her Nancy Grace, Natalie Holloway thing. Like that became her signature, whatever.
And now people are just listening to her and she's crazy. But she is probably going to be like buried under a building. At some point, because a whole country is suing you, bitch.
Impressive. I don't know what to say about that. You did it.
But one thing I just do just wonder though is like this feels like a new like social media podcast world like phenomenon, right? Were there Candace Owens running around during in the past? Whenever we see like someone like that or like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. Right. Yeah. I'm like, who were the crazy psychos in like the 1800s in Congress?
Oh, sure.
Or political commentators.
The rabble rousers, you know. The weirdos. Yeah. You unfortunately said the 1800s. I was all ready to say 20 years ago it was Ann Coulter, somebody I haven't thought about since then. But yeah.
Which she seems so quaint at this point now, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, she also just seems sort of like a bastard lawyer person, whereas these people are truly off the chain awful.
But it also does remind me that Ann Coulter got away with a lot of what she got away with just because gays and other people thought it was cute to hang out with her.
Yes. Well, she always kind of played up that she had gay friends. Did she really?
Yes.
I don't know.
She had that gay friend on the A-list Dallas.
Which was... remarkable television. Actually, it was so much worse than the other A-list, which was also bad. So it was actually impressive that it got worse.
And we need to bring it back.
Yes, and also just the term A-list. Words don't mean anything anymore. I mean, why have words if you're going to call that show the A-list?
All right, well, when we're back, we're going to find out if Lewis is trans or not.
Why?
Keep It is brought to you by Lola Blankets. Do you remember when Lola was J-Lo's alter ego?
Yes, that was a very quick blip in her life. Just like...
Fresh out the oven?
Yes. Oh my God. Let's also just talk about the song Louboutins for a moment. She really thought she was going to pop off with that. Anyway, we're back. I never thought I needed comfortable blankets in my life. Guys, yesterday, I'm on work hiatus right now, so I have very little to do. I put on the movie Nixon. That's right, 1995. Anthony Hopkins, Joan Allen, you remember it. By the way, everybody is in this movie. I sit on this couch with this new blanket from Lola. Excuse me, I watched all 3 hours of this movie wrapped in this blanket. It was a luxurious experience. I was like a woman in a commercial. I should have been eating little bits of yogurt as I did this whole thing. It was so luxurious, so lovely. I cannot recommend this blanket enough.
I love mine too. I love a couch blanket. And... there really is nothing like a couch blanket where a friend of yours comes over and then just wraps themselves up in it and sits on the edge of your couch.
Oh, yeah. And they give you little bits of advice.
Yeah.
And they drink coffee like they're in the Family Stone. Anyway. Lola is the world's number one blanket, crafted with ultra-soft, luxury vegan faux fur and a signature four-way stretch that sets it apart. It's machine washable. That's so crazy. It feels so luxurious. Double hemmed for durability and stays flawless. No pilling, no shedding, even after repeated washes. Lola has over 10,000 five-star reviews. And once you feel it, you'll know why. Lola Blankets has collabed with a number of amazing designers. They've done limited editions with Tezza, Harmony Buse, and Rachel Parcell. But you've got to move fast. These drops always sell out. Lola also makes weighted blankets for calming, therapeutic vibes.
Call me Courtney Love because my favorite blanket is the Malibu Blue.
Oh, that's also my favorite whole song. I'm glad you brought it up. And my least favorite alcoholic beverage.
Malibu?
Yes.
Listen, I grew up with a lot of white girls in Milwaukee, okay? I love Malibu.
Yeah, if you want to drunk drive a pontoon boat, that is where you go. Yeah.
For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 35% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code KEEPIT at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code KEEPIT for 35% off. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support Keep It by telling them that we sent you. And then wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. Well, just like Eminem, Lewis and I have been spitting behind these mics for 7 years.
Wow. Very do the right thing kind of intro here. All right.
I did the Real Slim Shady at karaoke for my birthday.
Oh, that's fun karaoke. I haven't heard that song in a long time. I'm sure it would take me right back to being bullied in middle school.
Also, a friend of mine who performed at karaoke was flirting later with the karaoke person who was running the karaoke.
The maestro, on Grindr, yes.
The maestro on Grindr later. And he said the person who sang Real Slim Shady was pretty good.
Wow. You better run with that.
Yeah. Anyway, while we have our own favorite moments from the show, we wanted to hear yours. So in this segment, we're going to take a walk down memory lane and revisit some of you, the listeners' favorite takes, interviews, and running bits from the Ira era.
Oh, wow. Era and Ira are close in lettering. That should be taken advantage of. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but have a meeting.
The Iras tour.
Oh my God. Multiple Iras?
Yeah.
You know, like when Madonna had that tour where there was like 60 Madonnas in trench coats, there'd be 60 Iras.
Actually, it'll be me and just Ira Glass taking it on the road.
Hologram of Ira Gershwin. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Bob Hope and whoever that other guy was.
Bing Crosby. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, he's got a website now, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you binged it lately?
Oh, that bit. Got it.
Okay. First up, this was obviously the number one vote getter.
Which is, by the way, crazy because it's so old. This is like within the first couple months of the show.
Let's cue this up. It was my interview with Karamo in 2018. On the red carpet in February.
Yes.
Your t-shirt.
Yes.
With nigga, crossed out, neither there.
Yes.
So what's up with that neither?
I wore the shirt for myself and just said, this is who I am.
Okay. I'm perfectly fine with people who don't want to use that word.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with people.
So then why do you have an issue with me wearing the shirt?
I had an issue with you wearing the shirt because it was on a red carpet. It was in Getty Images. It got put online, and that then ascribes of you sending a message out that you don't like the word.
I do not subscribe to cancel culture.
You do not.
I do not.
The whole...
Because what happens?
The whole meaning of keep it is canceling people.
What happens if someone cancels you?
If someone canceled me, I would, I'd just go to Europe and chill.
Yeah, just hang
I'd
out.
I'd be fine. Cancel me, please.
No, I don't want that to happen.
But you want to reach out to Kanye then. You want someone to reach out to Kanye.
Yeah, I want his physician to encourage him to get back on his medication, which he has openly admitted that he is off. I don't know the man, but I think there we should be rallying around him instead of canceling him.
Okay. All right.
This is literally the same reason why I ended up in the White House earlier this year, because I'm like, I can't cancel Trump and Pence. I might not have voted for them, but I must go in there and try to advocate and try to change some hearts and minds in hopes that things can change.
But sometimes you got to throw a brick at Stonewall.
You do. Truth be told.
Well, he was revved. I had forgotten how energized he was to save us.
Well, first of all, this was in 2018 when I was still doing solo interviews on the show, but we had already started doing group interviews at this point. Mm-hmm. I recall no one wanted to interview Carrallo.
Oh.
And I said, let's get into it.
You're like, let me put on my creamy white Diane Sawyer suit. Sit down. Let's make that lighting gauzy and get going.
And he was like, but do you really know, Ira? Do you really know? No, you know. Thank you. That was actually really fun to re-listen to. Because first of all, I've been listening to a few 2018 episodes over the past week. It's like the way the nostalgia did finally hit me. And I listened to our first episode too, just as a side note. And I was like, this is pretty funny.
Oh, that's lucky. No, I mean, like, yeah. When you watch something you've done years and years ago, my instinct is always, oh, I got better and better at it over time. But no, like, talking is talking, you know? It's
right.
I'm sure I'd be relieved to hear it.
Talking is talking. They say that in New York all the time on Yancey Street.
Little Linda Richmond, okay? Yeah.
What I love about this interview is the fact that it is... It is clear that I kind of went into the interview with an agenda.
Yeah. But no, I thought you were playful.
Yes. I actually do not think the interview itself is as antagonistic as everyone assumes it is in retrospect. I think everyone assumes it's antagonistic in retrospect because I am currently blocked by Carrallo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But that's only because after this was the him butting up with Sean Spicer.
Oh my God. It's really cruel to bring up things from 2018. Like, it hurts the brain.
Right. That happened. And then I made a joke about it. And then I was called out via text for not supporting him.
Oh, okay.
As a brother.
Well, I believe he has 9 or so Emmy nominations and at least 1 Emmy win. So I think it all worked out.
Yeah, I ain't got shit.
No. We do have a couple of Webbies, right?
Actually, we have 2 Webby Awards.
Yes, that's right.
For Best Pop Culture Podcast, we were nominated for an iHeart Award.
Oh, but we did not win that.
No, well, now that's a racket. I feel like only iHeart shows win that award.
Racket is such an underrated word.
Sympathy and payola.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Payola was that.
Nikki versus Cardi.
Payola is such an important concept that people don't understand. Okay, we have to go to another Ira clip right now, and it involves another solo interview of yours. My God, the journalistic journey you've been on this show involves a man who I thought was fabulous in The Northman, and even more fabulous in Big Little Lies, Alexander Skarsgård.
MTV Movie Awards. And I think it was when you did Tarzan.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at the bar trying to order a drink, and there were a ton of people there. And then you showed up at the bar, and the bartender immediately went to you, because who wouldn't?
Exactly.
But then you pointed out that I was at the bar and had him get my drink first.
I thought you'd say, I pointed out that you were at the bar and said, you're in my way. Get out of my way. Was I wearing pants?
Well, I mean, you usually don't wear pants in anything I've seen you in, which was going to be one of my first questions.
But that was the night that I presented an award with no pants on at the Movie Awards.
Yeah, you had pants at the after party.
I did. Okay, all right.
Yes, yes.
Right, so I don't have to apologize for walking up on you with no pants.
I don't think you'd have to apologize for that.
All right, good, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And you slept at night that night.
That is my favorite interview I've ever done.
He is a lovely man, and we put him through that. Okay.
He's shameless.
Sure. That was for The Northman, I believe.
It was for The Northman.
He was very good in that movie, yes.
Yeah. I find him to be one of those fun celebrities who is sort of like that with every person. It's sort of like how Andrew Garfield sort of is and was with us, right?
He was so much fun.
You just get that from non-American actors sort of all the time. They're always flirting with the interviewer. It's a playful game to them.
Every other country seems to value, like, fun banter. Like, it's just not a thing we care about here. You know what I mean? Like light sophistication, et cetera, light flirtation, a frisson in the air, if you will.
This was probably the second most requested because people are always asking me about this interview.
And also, he sounds like he's a million miles away. Like, he's reporting from, like, a space shuttle or something. I don't know what happened with the audio that day.
He was in his hotel room, I believe, and did not have headphones.
No, okay. And he's good in that robot show where he's, like, it's, like, called Robot Killer or something. I have no idea, but he's really good on it.
Yeah, I'm sure you watched 20 minutes of it.
I watched one episode of it in Palm Springs, and then I went back to not watching it.
He is quite a good actor, and I love him in True Blood, obviously, which I have thought about revisiting. I'm sort of wavering between revisiting True Blood, Desperate Housewives, or Revenge.
Ooh, I really am curious if Revenge holds up, because I haven't said the words Emily Van Camp in so long.
Yes, and it sort of spins off the wheels in its fourth and final season, where Courtney Love joins this series as an assassin named White Gold.
Very American Gladiators. Yeah.
Okay. This next one is Lewis.
Yes.
You doing an ad read for LaCroix.
Yes. That's right. This was about 2018 also. And I think what happened was it was a LaCroix ad. There was a new limoncello flavor, one of the more polarizing flavors.
They're not paying us, so we ain't playing no clip.
Okay, no, absolutely not. I said, though, I was like, this reminds me of when I was in high school, my grandfather died. And when somebody in your family dies, another family makes you food. And so, so they made us this like lovely meal, and there was a giant lemon cake with lemon frosting. I remember eating it and thinking, I would bring my grandpa back to life and kill him again if I could have one more slice of that cake. Still holds true. I remember saying it to my dad. My dad listened to that episode and he goes, I would too. I would too, like that.
I love like lemon flavored desserts. I hate it, limoncello, but a lemon dessert, let me tell you, my favorite fucking cookie that used to just, baby, this is why I was fat as a kid, okay? I used to go to the store and get, if you remember, Archway cookies, they were the red box.
Okay, I'm thinking.
They were like a frosty, soft lemon cookie.
Mm. Well, I know the flavor, what you're talking about, like the kind of lemoniness. Loved that. I mean, every time I walk into Starbucks and there's the lemon loaf, I have to pass it up. Like, it's, there's a romance between us and like brief encounters about to break out, and I have to stop it.
I used to get at least two boxes of this fucking cookie every week if I had the money for it. And at a certain point, the cookie vanished.
Oh, I hate when snacks go away.
Yeah.
Nabisco's doodads, I speak your name. Anyway,
okay.
Next up, this is another most requested interview. And I barely have any memory of it because it was filmed during the pandemic, which means I was doing this from my closet and those episodes don't feel real to me. But anyway, one of the most mysterious, now mysterious housewives, it was Bethany Frankel.
You know, I'm realizing, and you guys have a podcast too, so you get this, that doing a talk show is directing traffic and you can't get meaty and you can't get deep and you got it. You know, it's totally cancel culture because talk shows mostly suck and don't do well. And it's like, hey, when we come back, we have a nice pumpkin pie recipe. Someone's coming out of the closet and Clorox has a few messages right after the break. So you're like, okay. And then someone comes on and you're like, hi, how have you been balancing your summer? Oh, and I hear you have a new book out. Okay, hold on one second. We've had a big check for you because what you did was so amazing. And by the second you get in there, it's 7:30 in the morning with a pit crew on you about what you want for lunch and your fucking makeup and your pin and your hair and your boobs are too down. And we've had too many white guests the black guests are rating, and now we only can have black guests. I'm like the host of Soul Train. I'm like, it's okay. Like, we can also have white guests. Like, I am white. We can have black guests, but like, guys, like, you can't just go where we had a Latino guest, so now we're only Spanish people. There's a Polish guest that works, so now we're only cooking Polish food for a month. Like, it's like, you can't be fear-based and like run after the whole thing. It's just like, take it fucking easy. But on a podcast and also on some like streaming television, you can let it breathe and work your way into it. And a talk show is exhausting, and they make it look easy, and it's just cheery, mm-hmm. and you have to be in a good mood every day, and it doesn't matter how you really feel. It's just like, spin that wheel, and we're wearing a costume and we're baking a cake. So it is, needless to say, not for me.
Oh my God, my brain stopped.
Wow.
She was at auctioneer speed. Are we at Christie's?
Too many white guests. You got to get the black guest in. I had forgotten about...
I don't remember that at all. Yeah.
No, we always bring up the fact that you asked her...
Oh, yes. Like, what celebrities do you vibe with? I know you're always hanging out with celebrities. And she named every celebrity who has ever lived. She started from the beginning. She was like, Jesus Christ. And then...
I even hung out with Judas.
Yeah. No, she went through all of that. It was so funny. So funny. Hopped up.
Wow.
But I mean, the energy is appreciated. When you know, an interviewee doesn't seem invested or whatever, like, I hate silences hanging in the air. So to be overstimulating is a gift.
It's wild because I feel like the Real Housewives of New York broke her.
Yeah.
I was going back to a scene... and where she's arguing with Luann, and she's sort of like, you know, like, she had supported Luann through a lot of trauma, and then Luann was not there for her when her fiance died of an overdose. And she's screaming at Luann, that's what she's screaming. Life is not a cabaret.
Yes.
And it's just, she's having a mental break, and I just think that Bethany has been that person ever since. Now, if you watch her on TikTok, she talks just like that on TikTok about when she does her reviews of food or just events and parties at the Hamptons. This week she was talking about how she's living in Florida because the Hamptons, it has an off vibe this summer.
Oh my God. Well, I believe that. But also, she was like the reason I used to actually consider watching those shows, because she was sort of like the Groucho Marx. She like called the shots and like leaned over to the camera and said like, what a bunch of shit, or what, you know, we related to her. And then, you know, woof, something changed.
Would you call Girls Aloud the Groucho Marx pop stars, since they also call the shots?
Oh, I love that song. Every time that comes on, it's like Get Out of My Way by Kylie Minogue. You can't help but strut.
That is a perfect album, by the way. It has Sexy No No No, Can't Speak French, Control of the Knife. Get into Girls Aloud.
Instantly replayable. They kind of take you back in time, but it, in a good way. Like, the music is really good.
All right, when we're back, we're going to discuss Donatella Versace's favorite movie.
I know exactly what it is.
Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. Lewis, what excites you about your thick, full hair?
Is that meant to be mockery, bitch? Because guess what? It's a touchy issue. Some of us just have natural Mattel hair. It's not going away. It's just a particular kind of, you know, like Don Draper is as big, thick and full as my hair will ever be. Okay, to be honest, when my hair is pert and poking out, peacocking, as it were, I feel pretty good.
Call me Katy Perry because I want to see you peacock.
Oh, the best track on Teenage Dream. Any musicologist will tell you so.
Listen, it's summer, and summer's full of... big moments like weddings, vacations, endless photos. But also for you in California, you can drive window down, let that wind whip through your hair.
Sure. If I'm in Palm Springs on my way to, it's not called World Gym anymore, whatever that gym is called, where you can be 70 years old and wear little shorts. But anyway, if you're dealing with hair thinning or shedding, showing up and being present in those moments might feel tough. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair growth, working from the inside out. So the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be feeling confident and focusing on what matters most to you. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. Thinning hair is different for men and women, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas for men and women that are tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum or menopause, and lifestyle factors, such as a plant-based lifestyle, so you can get just what you need. Plus, users of Nutrafol men reported no impact to sexual performance. Woo!
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after 6 months taking Nutrafol Men Hair Growth Supplement, and 90% of women saw overall improvement in their hair after taking Nutrafol Women Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Start your hair growth journey with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code KEEPIT.
Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT.
Okay, we're back with more takes of fame, according to Keep It listeners. And this one, The Shape of Water, was nominated for an Oscar.
Quite.
And many, by the way. That movie was popping.
Yeah, it won Best Picture.
Yeah. Wasn't Sally also nominated?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Imagine not nominating Sally. Yes, fabulous actress.
Yeah. And you were discussing Octavia Spencer's role in this movie.
Yes.
The Shape of Water.
Okay.
You know what? Apparently, some people are into sea monsters, and this is not a shame-based podcast, so we're going to let it slide.
This was one of the only movies that I was concerned that I hadn't seen, so I watched it last night.
How do you feel?
No.
I would say it's too predictable.
I think it's goofy, too.
By the way,
it's about this. It's about a mute woman who wants to fuck a fish.
Totally. And by the way,
and then there's like happy, happy gay character wandering around, and Octavia Spencer once again playing a domestic worker. I don't have time for it. Octavia Spencer also got nominated because they love when, you know, she plays a woman who cleans up stuff.
But she also said, she's like, you fucking that fish? I mean, that was all her. And she was like, okay. She did not have one problem with it. That became, for like 6 shining months, the catchphrase of Keep It.
We even had it on the Keep It calendar. Do you remember that we had at least 3 Keep It calendars?
Like we're Garfield. It makes no sense.
If you have them at home, they're not collector's items.
And also 2018 is past. They're simply not valuable as timekeeping mechanisms.
I'm sure someone does have them at home. And I actually do think it's lovely that they exist, because I think honestly when I, you know, the book was coming out, right? I was in this mode of podcasts are ephemeral, you know, who re-listens to them? And, but first of all, here we are revisiting Memory Lane. It's sort of
and we love
interesting.
It.
We do, no, but it's interesting that people do re-listen to episodes. I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
But I was like, listen, a book is a real thing. It'll be sitting in someone's home. But then I was remembering, we have calendars, there are t-shirts with our quotes on them. Just like Keep It merch out there in the world.
Oh, we'll survive the apocalypse. I've made sure of it. Yes.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I would love to run into someone like with a vintage Keep It shirt.
Yeah, or make your own, whatever. I'm sure you have your great ideas out there. Everybody's a fucking graphic designer nowadays.
Yeah, don't get crooked, anybody. Make it on Etsy.
Another classic, and I'm putting classics in quotes here, are Iris. Mastery of accents. And by mastery, I mean just not that word. Pick any other word. But first of all, we'll start with the Spanish flair of Amelia Perez. What a shocking name to bring up now. Amelia Perez. It's like almost illegal to say. And by the way, that was technically this year.
A Carmen Sandiego villain.
Yes. And also, of course, Madonna's favorite movie of 2024. If you don't know what I'm talking about, here's a clip.
Last week,
The Oscars finally dropped this year's nominations. There weren't many surprises on who made the cut and who got snubbed. But I'll tell you what. Nobody's happier than that puta, Emilia Perez. I think my keep it this week is Catherine Deneuve issued an apology for a letter that she and a bunch of French women wrote about the Me Too movement and said that in their initial letter, she was like, you know, the men, you know, they touch you, they touch on your leg, they kiss the breast, you know, it's foreplay. I don't know what accent that was. Like,
famous cartoon skunk, Catherine Deneuve.
I started to love Sylvie by the end of the series, though.
Okay.
Because I'm like, this is just a French. I'm just like, this is a French woman who just wants to have sex all the time and like smoke and like love sexual harassment because that is what the French do, you know? and you're right. Lily Collins is just, you know, like plucking her way through the show. While I was drinking during the weekend, I must have missed it, but I did get DMs. Someone had sent me like one of your stories, but it was already gone by the time I went to look.
It's okay. I screen recorded.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Yeah. The question was, do I prefer Ira's French accent or English accent? And I said, murder-suicide. So.
Mm. Nice. I do have a murder-suicide accent.
I feel the same. I love when we agree. Yeah. Oh my God, that used to be your whole thing. Literally, it's like when my mom talks about the podcast, she goes, and of course, his wonderful accents. I was like, you're the enemy.
I have not spoken in a French accent in quite a good time on the show.
It's getting very Hercule Poirot. Very, and I do mean Branna. Yeah.
Just Kara and Aida cackling in the background, too. wow, I forgot that I read that Catherine Deneuve letter in her accent. That seems wild.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was the story we were referring to, because when I think of her, I think of that insane Me Too era.
Yes.
Faux pas, to put it in her language.
But very French.
Quite. No, you don't want an older French woman's opinions on anything relating to social issues. I'm sorry. I can say that definitively.
Why are you eating so much? you look fat.
Fat, my favorite French word.
Except those bitches love butter. You've been to France. They are smothering you in butter. It is wild that the French woman diet is so... You know, remember those books, too, that we grew up with in it's sort of like our high school era? I think it was called something like How to Be Skinny Like a French Woman,
oh,
basically.
Yeah, of course, of course. Which, by the way, calls to mind one of, I think, our greatest accomplishments on Keep It. Isabel Huppert somehow did not hate us.
No.
She was like a fan. You know, she was like, most of these people, I could take or leave.
Yes. Now, the other French lady.
Oh, Juliette Binoche. I did mess up there. Yeah. She was mostly on our side. And then unfortunately, I brought up her worst cinematic experience, which was the movie Damage, which is her best movie. And she said it was horrible to film. And I'm like, well, it was lovely to watch. And she's like, I don't care.
And you should know that. And you should have known that, Louis.
But she was so compelling to watch even while she was reading me the filth because she's got that interiority.
Yeah, yeah. No, Isabel Huppert was a highlight, to be honest.
Also, again, the thing with like genius performers is there's no guarantee they're going to be a genius interviewee or even really remember their career that much. So when you get someone like her or Cate Blanchett, who is, of course, the greatest interviewee ever, it's such a relief. It's like, oh, my God. And you have this other dimension of you that's as good as what you bring to the silver screen.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, speaking of actresses we love and one who should have been on this show, though maybe she just hates us. That could be it, too. you guys ever heard of this Ruth Negga woman?
What did you call me?
It's nice that you gave it a new reading on the last day. Still caught me off guard.
That's why I'm leaving the show, by the way. It's always Negga this, Negga that. Now you got it. No more Negga's on the show.
In the future, when her name comes up, I think I will have no choice but to just sit in silence. Like, there will literally be, like, a 15 seconds of dead air.
Oh, You know what, listeners? I'll come back if Rivenega's booked.
I think it's literally like a Bloody Mary situation. She's mentioned it and you pop on the podcast.
You're like, and our next guest, please welcome to Keep It, Rivenega. What did you call her, Lewis? No one knows I was on the show until that point.
Also, what did you call her? God.
Well, that's my name, love. She is British, right?
I believe she's from Ireland. Yeah. I think she has a British accent.
Oh, well, my British accent sounds like it's from Dublin.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say there's something not geographically super astute about what you bring to the accent world, but...
Also, have we ever seen Rivenega and Zadie Smith in the same room?
I have often had the same question. Yes.
Why, you think they look alike?
Next topic.
Cuticlip.
Jake Gyllenhaal is beginning to explain to his wife, who in the original movie, this is a spoiler, is the person who did it. His wife did it, and she's played by Bonnie Bedelia in the original. And this one...
And, sorry, remind me, who plays his wife in the new one?
Rivenega.
What you call me?
There we go.
Ruth neither. Okay?
You really put me through it, bitch.
I guess you could say I was Rivenegging you.
You certainly could say that. And in fact, please don't. I've had enough. When we did that episode of Keep It Live in Boston, somebody came up to us in line and brought that up, that segment, or that segment, that bit you do. And it's just rough to talk about. I have nothing to say about it. And well, other than I love her as an actress and she was amazing in Passing.
Yeah, Passing for Zadie Smith.
You're right.
According to you.
Fuck off.
All right, we will be right back.
Had enough.
We will be right back to answer all of your burning questions. But before that, some quick housekeeping. If you've been side-eyeing Sydney Sweeney's brand deals all week, you're not alone. On Hysteria, Aaron and Alyssa break it all down and revisit some favorite episodes of This Fucking Guy, their YouTube series about the worst men in power, no matter the party. Think corruption, scandal, and straight-up bad vibes. I guess everybody's doing a clip show this week.
You can catch This Fucking Guy on YouTube and Spotify and listen to Hysteria every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts or watch the show on YouTube. All right. When we're back, you ask, and you know what? We might answer.
Keep It is brought to you by Helix Sleep. And now, transfer to our Helix mattress correspondent, Louis Vertel.
Here I am, popping right off my mattress into life, just as I do every single day. My Helix mattress is the most buoyant thing about me. My personality is propped up mainly by sugar and sugar-free Red Bull. That's it. Otherwise, Helix is responsible for everything you love and respect about my personality. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. 10 to 15 years! Everybody is unique, and everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You're not going to believe this. There's a quiz. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. As you know, I am a Midnight Lux side sleeper, and I have the perfect mattress for me. I look just like a gorgeous dead body outline when I sleep. Picture just on its side. Picture one arm down, one arm, you know, like my cheek is down. Keep picturing it. My eyebrows are slightly arched. It's pleasant. You can see the REM. My leg is across, okay? You there? Okay, great. Your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
When I go, I'm going like Lewis. Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide. Exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide. This is exclusive for listeners of Keep It. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know that we sent you. helixsleep.com/keepit. Last week, we asked all of you to send in your most cutting questions about me, Lewis, the show, pop culture, literally anything. Even Shelley Miscavige's whereabouts, which Thomas told me, and I'm not at liberty to say.
That's nice that you have that relationship.
Yeah, he's a really good friend.
Oh, yeah. You have a lot in common, too.
Thankfully, some of you finally found that comment section we've been telling you about forever on Spotify, YouTube, and our Instagram page. So now we're going to answer all of those questions that you've been asking. Well, some of them.
Yeah. Some of them, you guys were a bit naughty, I have to say.
Some of them, you've been asking the same damn question for 7 years. Give it up!
Also, listen the first time.
All right. Let's get this one over with. What really happened with Heather Graham?
Okay, so I feel like when we last talked about this, somebody asked us like, oh, who was the worst guest or whatever? And we said Heather Graham, but we didn't mean that Heather Graham herself was bad to talk to. She had a PR person who was in the room like dictating we ask certain questions, and that's never happened before. People like usually leave us to our own devices here. And it actually would have been okay if the questions ended up being, I don't know, cool or interesting, but they made her more awkward too. So it was just like not helping anybody in the room communicate. It was just a really tough moment.
Yeah. Plus, we began asking her questions about her movie.
Yes.
And our whole thing is usually we ask about the topic at hand, and then we get into people's careers, their interests, etc. We're doing that. And then the publicist is like, you're going to ask her any questions about the movie? And we're like, bitch, what do you think we started with?
Yeah, right. It was just, I've never been treated like that while I was doing my job before. So I didn't know professionally how to respond to that, even though I guess you're supposed to be very diplomatic in those moments.
But Heather was lovely.
Yeah. Oh, she was totally nice. Yeah. No, if we misrepresented that, that's on us because she was a lovely person. Next question. Oh, this is a good one. Why is Ira leaving? What's his next adventure? Well, bitch, you have the floor.
I'm going west like Fievel.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie about Jewishness and being a mouse.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a Steven Spielberg joint.
Right. It was not Disney. Correct. And there's a good song from one of those movies, too. I haven't seen those in ages.
First of all, you all will have a front row seat to what next book I write, anything I do, if you had bothered to subscribe to my Substack, like I've been telling you all to subscribe to my newsletter for years. Whores.
I love insulting the listeners, as we have done several times so far.
IraMadison.substack.com. My newsletter is called Three. It's, you know, a beautiful name.
Okay. Sure, I'll subscribe. I'd like to see what you were doing. Let's see. Next up we have here, what takes have you held back sharing over the years because you wanted to get into parties that you can share now? Well, I mean, if you truly hate a celebrity, there's not really room to talk about that on the show. Like if I have a personal interaction with somebody that sucks, though, I can't even really think of those.
Yeah. I'm like, what have we held back on? Disliking a movie that someone we know made.
There's that, or occasionally disliking a movie that a guest has made. Because, and by the way, like you can usually still key into the movie and say something productive about it or something you liked about it. So it's not like it's lying entirely, but sure, there are people coming on promoting a movie and you can only think to ask about how amazing their hair looks. Hint, hint. I'll let you guys dig that up.
And they're going to dig it up. Because you know what? They're always busy keep investigating on this show.
We really needed to coin more phrases in conjunction with keep it. I feel bad about that. Lewis, do you ever plan on writing a book? God, that seems so boring. But I will say I do kind of plan on writing a Substack at some point. I feel like that's a productive use of my time. Why not?
I think you should. I mean, you sort of started with that.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting back to it, to be honest. People want thoughts from you coming into their inbox. And sort of my Substack, my newsletter right now, it's just in general, like I write about things we don't talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of like, you know, when there is a movie or something I care about, I will not be weekly updating on everything that comes out. Listeners, I'm sorry. You're not going to get the weekly takes anymore. But if there's something big that I want to dive into, of course I'll write about it. And that's what a newsletter is sort of for. It's really just like getting into the mind of the person that you're following.
Also, truly something about the 2000s internet I miss, which by the way is a very small category, is LiveJournal. I miss just like reading all of somebody's thoughts, devoting my time to that and moving on. Not, you know, I'm not reading just their tweet and a long stream of other tweets that are, you know, plaguing my brain.
Call me Mariana. Where them blog is at? Where them blog is at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?
Call you who?
Rihanna.
From, oh, Rihanna. You know, she said, I said Mariana. I was like, who's the, an Italian restaurant you go to?
Yeah. Mariana.
Let's see. Where do you think pop culture is heading next? Not very far.
Hell?
Not going much. where's the money? Who's fronting it? I personally myself have resisted things like TikTok so much, and it has been to my detriment, but I also think I've saved a lot of my mental health that way.
I think you would actually be good on TikTok, though.
It needs to be just curated old things TikTok. Like, it needs to just be like 1977 Oscar ceremonies or like Night of a Thousand Stars, like kitschy old things. I can't get into front-facing people. I can't get into the front-facing people.
But you could do that.
I guess I could, yeah.
People just love people sitting there talking. If you had a TikTok that was just, you picked a random category from the Oscars, just any year, you were just like, this year's best actors race of 1971,
uh-huh,
and just went through that, people would watch it.
Even though everybody knows Jane Fonda should have won that year. Maybe Julie Christie and McCabe and Mrs. Miller was second place, but definitely Jane was the winner.
See, that's what they want to hear.
Oh, okay. Is that a TikTok? Did I do it? Subscribe.
Yes, you did.
Let me twerk. Look at my references are so dated. I have no idea what's happening on TikTok anymore.
Okay, this one is for me and Lewis. If we could pair any two actors, one living, one deceased, in a project, who would you pair up and why?
They would both have to be very formidable, and they would also both have to be women, because as you know, I didn't know until recently that men act. just about women. I'm going to go with, got to be Cate Blanchett now. And then I'll pair her actually with Katharine Hepburn, because I feel like Katharine Hepburn would be intellectually intimidated by Cate Blanchett, and I want to see her quiver in those long pantaloons.
Okay. Honestly, I have two men.
That's too bad.
Which is shocking.
What are they?
Okay. Because I think the tension on this set would be simmering.
Oh, so we're talking about closeted men.
Potentially closeted man.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Okay. Oh, well, I think he's straight, but go ahead.
Yeah, I do think he's straight. But I just think, you know, the tension on the set.
Got
because
it.
Of, like, secrets. And Cary Grant.
Cary Grant would definitely respect him, I have to say.
Yeah. I think that they would make a great thriller. Honestly, I thought of pairing Tom Cruise with Katharine Hepburn, if you hadn't said her, just because he's so great with a woman like Vanessa Kirby, right?
Yes.
I think he's good with a stern woman who has a sense of humor. I think that Tom would make an amazing sort of comedy with Katharine Hepburn, and
yes,
I think Tom Cruise would make an amazing thriller with Cary Grant.
Well, also, I think North by Northwest is one of the few movies that reminds me of a Tom Cruise movie then. Like, even
yes,
it sticks out among Hitchcock movies as less Hitchcockian, even though it's got like the icy blonde and certain tenets that we're familiar with from Hitchcock movies. It's more like a movie we would get much later on, a different kind of thriller.
Yeah. And I didn't mean so much that Tom Cruise is closeted. I just mean that, you know, with all of his Scientology and the sort of like secrets and mystery surrounding him, it sort of fits all of the just conversation and mystery that was surrounding Cary Grant, but for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read the Vanity Fair piece this week?
No.
About him and it's about Cary Grant's relationship with Randolph Scott.
Oh, right. They always had those bachelor photos together where they're living together.
Yes.
And like they're like extremely tan in the pool all day. And we're like, oh, I wonder what's going on with those two best friends.
Right. The piece actually sort of included quotes too from the fan magazines that used to interview them. And the quotes are wild.
In a telling way, or is it just a more innocent time and they didn't know what they were saying?
No, it's really just sort of like about how knowing what each other likes to eat, to just sort of like, and he always does this for me in the morning, etc. And just all the reports from the other fan magazines, too, just about how even when they started out, obviously, as actors who were not making a lot of money, so they were living together.
Right.
But even through their marriages, they were still living together.
Right, right. Suspicious. In fact, it should have been investigated. We should have thrown a brick that way.
And then that famous Hollywood pimp talked about fooling around with them.
God, I still have to say, I always am wondering how true any of that was. I know there's like some stretching of the imagination, and I know it can't all be true, but it's like, can it really all be fake too? We're talking about Scotty Bowers, who wrote the book Full Service, and he was like a gas station attendant who became this like bisexual pimp for everybody in Hollywood. It's like a fascinating story, if only it could possibly be real, which it doesn't feel like it could be.
Ryan Murphy's Hollywood.
And then there was Ryan Murphy's Hollywood, which is largely based on his tales, except it moves away from them. And I think it's because Ryan Murphy realized, oh, this can't possibly be true.
Well, I don't know. Does it really matter if something is true or not when it comes to a Ryan Murphy true crime or like historical story? Because first of all, Ryan Murphy's a Hollywood pimp. He's just pimping out dead people's stories
constantly.
I cracked up this week when I am really sort of amused by Jack Schlossberg because I sometimes find him annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But when he told Ryan Murphy, say that shit to my face, bitch, this week about him, about Ryan Murphy basically saying that he should be quiet with his criticisms of his new show about JFK Jr. and Jacqueline Bisset because he didn't even know his uncle, which is a crazy thing to say to someone.
Carolyn Bisset. You just said Jacqueline Bisset. Jacqueline Bisset, by the way, that might be my favorite story in Keep It History. When Jacqueline Bisset won that Golden Globe and she was seated in like a nearby football field, walked to the front to accept it. She was flustered as fuck. Go back and revisit that story. That was maybe the greatest award show moment of the past 25 years.
Are they related?
No, that's B-I-S-S-E-T, Jacqueline Bisset. And then Carolyn Bisset, I believe, is B-E-S-S-E-T-T-E.
Wow. Bisou, as they say.
Also, her long, frosty blonde hair reminds me, you know who else was fun on the show? Elizabeth Holmes. We would talk about her. That was a good 2018 topic.
Yeah. I was about to say, where's she at? But she's currently in prison with Jen Shah.
We know exactly where she is, like the square footage. We know.
Constantly doing press photos.
What else? She was great at them, I have to say. She brought it.
Okay, I would say one last actor, by the way. I would love like James Dean paired with someone who's very good in young Hollywood now.
Mm.
Like a Zendaya or Chalamet or like one of these people.
I would say Zendaya. I would like to see, because he also is somebody where if you watch old James Dean movies, he does have a mystique and an angst about him. I'm not quite sure about sexuality. Like when people read that into him, like I don't get like a, you know, that like Marlon Brando had that quality. James Dean feels a little bit more vulnerable and scared to me.
He seems asexual, to be honest.
Yeah.
And speaking of Marlon Brando, someone was recirculating the clip of Christopher Reeves reading him for filth.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I need to look it up.
I forget which talk show it was on. It might have been on Johnny Carson or whatever.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
He's giving an interview that he's just like, Marlon Brando sucks to work with, and he could be great, but he refuses not to be.
Right. I mean, and then Marlon Brando didn't work for the entire 1980s until he did that pretty good movie, A Dry White Season. So he basically went away right after working with Christopher Reeve.
Someone asked where pop culture is going. If we want to keep doing nostalgia, can we take celebrity interviews and culture back to shit like that? Back where people would just be like, who was it that said Faye Dunaway sucks?
Oh, that would be Bette Davis.
Yes. Literally just bring that shit back where people are just honest about celebrities they don't like.
I wonder if celebrities in general, though, are so much better behaved because they're aware that other people can give interviews at any time or drop a tweet at any time. So they're less likely to be divas. But no, like egos are egos.
I feel like they're not, because I feel like you always still get a story from someone who's like, this actor is horrible to work with. But they're always teasing it. You know, they're like, I'm not going to mention who. I feel like it still fucking happens.
Yeah. Yeah, general honest, and then also be hilarious. That gives you an opportunity to be funny in a winning way, and then we like you even more.
You think everyone is well-behaved on the SNL cast, for instance?
Every time I hear about any era of that show, it just feels like you would have a hemorrhage. Like it's not fun. It's not fun. Unless you work with Beck Bennett, whom everybody loved.
Also, kind of hot.
Oh, I've always thought that, certainly. Also, hot name.
Oh, Lewis, yes. Is there a past keep it hot take that present day you disagrees with?
I have to say, no. I was 100% right every single time.
Really? All the movies you predicted that were going to be awful?
Such as?
Based on the trailer.
With, like what?
I'm trying to remember specifically which ones.
Well, I will say, I remember at the time being like, Renee Zellweger in this Judy movie is going to be so bad, and we're going to be so regret giving her this opportunity that this would be her comeback after we all love Renee Zellweger. And then she was amazing in that movie, specifically in the moments where she was performing on stage as Judy Garland, which I did not expect at all. I didn't even know that would be a component of the movie, really. She was fabulous in that. And then we did not that much with her. We put her in The Truth About Pam. I was indifferent about that. And then Bridget Jones recently, that was good, that new Bridget Jones thing. I feel like that might be up for Emmy consideration because it's secretly a TV movie or whatever. She was amazing in that.
Kenny Chesney's Revenge.
Also, right.
He cursed her.
One of the great divorces because she cited fraud.
Yeah. I think one of my takes that I disagree with is I've rewatched it recently. And I do not hate Practical Magic.
Really? Would you describe yourself as entertained the whole time?
I find it enjoyable.
I mean, they throw Diane Wiest in there for me, so they can't really be missing.
Yeah. Is it a great movie? No. But, I mean, is it an amazing movie? Like, is it 5 stars on Letterboxd? No. But I think it's a 3 for me, maybe 3.5.
I'm psyched to see them do what they're going to do with the sequel. I guess they're shooting that right now. There was some behind-the-scenes footage of Sandra and Nicole hugging it out before the work began.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Nicole had time. She wasn't shooting 8 Netflix series.
The most employed woman who ever lived.
Meanwhile, Sandra just hangs out. What's the last thing she did? Bird Box?
It must be Bird Box. I was about to say Yankee Hotel Foxtrot or whatever that movie was called. No, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah.
YHF.
Yeah. That's the Wilco album anyway. Wait, there's one question here I think you should answer. Ira, what will you miss about Lewis the most?
Is that on there?
I seem to be reading it. I can answer for you, Tim.
Okay. No, why don't you answer?
Oh, that does make more sense, doesn't it? You know what I like? There's no area about pop culture you don't know about. Like, the conversation could always go anywhere, and you would always be game to go there. That is what I think my favorite thing about this podcast is. Like, we ostensibly are talking about what's happening in pop culture week to week, but there were no fences. Like, you could talk about old pop culture, new pop culture. You were never too cool for any area of pop culture. And sometimes I am. Like, I don't know about whatever, Housewives or whatever. But you don't have any restrictions that way. It might be a standards issue. I don't know. But I really appreciated it in conversation.
No, I've really appreciated the conversation on this show. I obviously feel like I have... honestly, I've always been a big TV person, right? And a big theater person and music person, but movies I enjoyed, but I feel like I upped my watching movies more, caring about movies more just by being on the show with you. So I could, you know, back and forth, you know, there's definitely a lot of movies and genres and classic films that I started watching because I was on the show with you.
Yeah.
So I really sort of appreciate that. And, no, you know, I'm going to miss the back and forth each week. I think that we have very good chemistry talking about this stuff. It's weird because I feel like the show that we started, there's so many of them now.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, just gay guys yapping, you know?
Which might be the name of our sequel podcast if we ever start one up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's weird to go back and listen to older episodes and think about when we were brand new, when we first started, when the show was very big. And it was, you know, Crooked Media's pop culture show, you know? And I don't know. It's been a really nice run. I wish that there was a lot more we could have done with the show. We could have had a TV show. We had 2 failed attempts at it.
conceptually what we were trying to do with the TV show was not right. The TV show needed to resemble what we're doing right here, and it kept turning into all sorts of other fucking things.
Well, I mean, so we first had A24 try and develop one, and for some reason, it was right after Positive America had done their like live taping of a show.
Right.
And everyone was just sort of obsessed with the fact that the show didn't need to be us just talking about pop culture behind a desk, right? Which worked for the Bodega Boys, Desus and Mero, which, remember that era of pop culture?
I loved them.
They were great interviews, by the way, on the show.
Loved them. They were so much fun and game for anything. And also, again, people who talk at 500 miles per hour, but you don't miss a word. They were amazing.
Right. And then we had a version at Freeform, which the pandemic kind of killed. But this was with Aida. Girl, it was a show about us being in an RV, traveling around like we're fucking Scooby-Doo.
There was only one time in pop culture history when an RV was okay, and that was the television series Road Rules. That's it.
Exactly. Now, if someone wants to bring back Road Rules, I will gladly sign up for that show.
Please.
Okay?
Let me rappel off a mountain and then give a confessional about how I'm scared.
I can't do Big Brother, but I would do Road Rules.
Road Rules is one of the best shows. I mean, truly, nobody remembers any of the cast members anymore unless they were on the challenge, which some of them were on for quite a while.
Yeah. Some of them are still on.
Precisely. Anissa? Yes.
No, we tried that. And I'm just really also happy that my book came out this year because it gave us the opportunity to do our live show in Boston and see so many fucking fans of this show. And I got to see so many across the U.S. when I was on different book tour stops too. And it's just, it's really heartening to see just how much the show has meant to so many people. I think when you're doing a show like this and you're just recording it week to week and you're not really interacting with fans a lot, you could sort of feel very like panic room or something.
Yeah.
You know? It's sort of like you have no idea who's listening, when they're listening. That's why when someone like Allison Williams pops up on the show and is like, I'm going to miss you on the show. Or like when Adam Scott first appeared on the show, right? And it's like, my wife listens. And that stuff always feels so weird because it's like you can't sense them. You don't know. I guess you just never know who's at home deciding to press play on Spotify.
Right. No, I myself don't really listen to podcasts. So when, you know, even my friends say they listen to the show, I want to criticize them. I'd be like, you know, you can just talk to me. It's the same. I'm talking here and I'm also talking with you then. There's not much difference. But the fans have been rad. And also, every time a fan comes up to me, the conversation is always good. We always talk about something that's bothering us both. Or we talk about old movies and I do my Marlena Dietrich impression. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But, you know, to answer people's other question, you know, it's like, I just turned 39. You're about to turn 39.
Right.
And this is just I feel like this, I've had this going on since 2017. It feels like it doesn't feel like. It is the last sort of pre-pandemic thing that exists in my life, you know? I'm even moving out of this apartment soon. All these errors are ending. I'm moving to Bed-Stuy. Which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Breaking news.
So weird that I didn't read that in page 6.
Yeah, right? Ira steps out in Bed-Stuy with Justin Trudeau. Did you see Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau had a dinner date last night?
In like Montreal or something? What are they talking about?
Shout out to TMZ with the Bon Appetit headline.
One of her best songs, to be honest.
Yeah.
I assume a queen picked that out.
Yeah, but we always add arbitrary milestones to ages and things, and I feel like it really doesn't matter now, especially when you're gay, because what does turning 40 mean to us anyway? It's not like we have biological clocks ticking, and we look great.
And also, gay guys just keep doing the same thing. Like, I guess some people do have kids eventually, but you go to a party and like, oh, there's a guy who's 58, still wearing the same outfit I'm wearing, you know? Like, the future is, you're living it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's just time to try something new, some independence, independent woman.
Part 3, as I feel like the next chapter in Beyonce's career may involve Destiny's Child in a serious way, since they obviously just appeared at her Vegas concert with her.
Yeah, I'll get to that with my final keep it.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, if there's one last thing I can say about keep it, is go back and look at like interviews, the first press images from our first episode of Keep It, right? The best thing I can say is that Lewis and I both look insanely better.
Oh, I have to agree with that. I mean, starting from the hair, working through every piece of clothing.
I really went for bald now, which is great because I feel like I used to have the thinning hair thing. The glasses, I brought the glasses back after LASIK, but listeners, these are fake.
You're like Buddy Holly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, were Buddy Holly's fake?
No, but they had to have been. He could not have been seeing out of those big fucking things. Were you, Waldo?
Well, is that why the plane crashed?
His eyes were not on the road. His eyes were not on the road. And he was flying it. He was flying it. The Big Bopper said, who's looking? Yes.
God don't like ugly or fake glasses. All right, let me take mine off. Ooh, I look just like Buddy Holly, but I don't want a beer.
And on that current pop culture reference.
Our first Weezer reference?
Maybe. I like Weezer okay.
Yeah. All right. When we're back, that's our last Keep It. Mine, at least. And we are back with our favorite segment of the episode. It's Keep It, baby.
And it's time for Ira and I's last Keep It together. But before we get into that, I've been told that we've received a few messages in the Keep It voicemail. Did you know we had that? I didn't.
I did not.
Okay.
Is it like a tip line?
Yeah. Maybe we could have used the tips. Let's take a listen.
Ira. So good they named you thrice. Hello, it's Graham Norton here. Two-time guest, long-time fan.
Love him.
What's going on, Ira? The podcast is literally called Keep It, and you are leaving. I can't pretend to understand, but hey, it's your life to live as you see fit. I just wanted to say thank you for all the great listens, but especially thank you for those great interviews. You're so thoughtful and well-prepared. You put other interviewers to shame. I'm looking at myself in a mirror right now. Good luck with everything in your future. I'm thrilled that you're going to be writing more and delighted that you are spreading your wings and flying. Well done, you, sir. You will be missed, but we look forward to reading what you've got to create. Take care now. Lots of love. Bye.
Ira, it's Andy Cohen. Just want to wish you congratulations on an incredible run. Thank you for all the support. All the great feedback and your devotion of quality programming. Thank you, Ira.
Ira, we just wanted to join, obviously, Graham Norton and Andy Cohen in saying how sad we are that you're leaving. Obviously, the opportunity to work at Tesla was one you couldn't pass up. we're sad to see you go. We've been so grateful to you. For all the takes.
Yeah, look, while I was the worst live show quiz guest in Keep It history.
Oh, we remember.
Epic failure, if you guys recall. No,
not really.
How many years? This was a long time ago.
It's like 5 years. I was Keep It's biggest fan. I remain Keep It's biggest fan. You are the only way I've stayed tethered to pop culture in any way, shape, or form as I've entered my 40s. I love you for it, and I will miss you.
Yes, we love you, Ira. We'll miss you. But one thing I'm looking forward to is maybe getting on Keep It now that you're gone. Maybe because Lewis told me the ban is lifted. Hate to tell you. So
it's a blanket ban.
I did not.
In fact, I'm actually going to be the new co-host.
Wow, finally.
So take that, Ira.
Keep that.
Anyway, you're great.
5 menches.
Wow. Okay, that was lovely. That was sweet. Oh my God, I'm like sweating.
I know.
I'm sweating because my AC is off and it's so fucking hot in New York City. but there's also, some tears in my eyes too. That was sweet.
Well, I just want to assure viewers at home that like there's no way in the future that Ira won't be doing some version of commentary like this because I'm so sorry, baby. It's what you're born to do. So I know you're spreading your wings and doing other things and like you consider yourself literary or whatever, but let me tell you something, Charlotte Bronte. You should be yapping.
Listen, I'm gonna put my paws up because my mama told me when I was young we were all born to talk about pop culture.
Right. That's so sad that your mom knew that you would be doing that even then. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like I'm even sweating through my shirt. So let's wrap this up, honey.
Oh, sure. Okay. You want me to get to my keep it first?
Yeah. You go first.
Okay. Very good. I was thinking about what like unites the lives of me and Ira. And I was just thinking, my keep it goes to people who come to a fun gay ass function, you know, maybe like gay guy music video night, a club, whatever, a pregame, any time of hangout, and don't bring a vibe. Please, when you go to like hang out with ever, like, look, Ira and I are on our phones all the time. We're pop, we like keeping up with people. We like knowing what's happening in the news and pop culture, whatever. But we love socializing more than anything. The point of this all is that we can come together and talk about this shit and be active and there for each other. And I just feel like in the age of social media, people give themselves lots of excuses to be fucking rude. And I think my criticism of like gay guy culture is people are rude. Can you just like converse? This is something I regret about not living in New York, where I feel like the barrier of entry is that everyone has something to talk about. You know, like it's a very chatty city, and LA is, shall we say, not. So my keep it goes to people who don't feel like, who don't overcome their shyness to say something, if that's what's going on, or two, just kind of stand around. It's like, this is only fun. Pop culture is only fun if we bring it, if we bring a vibe with it and discuss it openly and enjoy each other's company. So my keep it is to sucking at social situations.
Sometimes sucking at social situations is fun.
Okay. All right. Well, what is this Match Game 77? What is this? The newlywed game ass answers here? Yeah.
I want to piggyback off of that, by the way, and say, when I hand you the remote in my apartment at Gay Guy Music Video Night,
yeah,
do not freeze up. Or hand it back and be like, oh, I don't know what to play. We've been listening to music videos for an hour. You know you want to play something, bitch.
Right.
Like just come up with something interesting.
Take a big swing. Go ahead. You want to play that weird Cass Elliott video from 1970? I'm talking to myself. Go ahead and play it.
Okay. So my keep it goes to Beyonce.
Oh, what a great final keep it. I hate this loser.
Listen, I'm sweating through my shirt because it's hot as hell in my apartment and in New York right now. But I'm also hot about Beyonce and this Destiny's Child reunion.
Oh, okay.
I'm not joining the chorus of people who are mad that I didn't get the Destiny's Child reunion at my show. Because let me tell you something. It wasn't a fucking Destiny's Child reunion.
Oh, yeah. Where was Latavia? Where was LaToya?
I don't even mean that. I mean, first of all, we saw them together at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I saw them live at Coachella. But I've seen them strutting down a runway to Lose My Breath before.
Right.
Like, where is Bootylicious, Nasty Girl, okay? Where is Get on the Bus? If I'm going to get a Destiny's Child reunion in the future, I want to hear a new fucking song.
Mm. I think we will. Don't you think this, this is going to have something Destiny's Child related in it? There's some TikTok-y rumors that, obviously everyone thinks it's going to be a rock album, but she apparently in her show there were like interspersed images where she's kind of dressed up as rock icons or something, or that's what people are claiming. Anyway,
also like the interstitial of hers, Little Richard, that's also included in the show. I think the Beehive is turning into Swifties right now, right? And stop being brain dead and coming up with puzzles and, you know, like they're trying to like solve riddles, and I promise you, Beyonce is not the mastermind from Big Brother 27, okay?
One of my favorite characters, yes.
Right? She does not care that much at all.
And who knows when we're going to get it. I'm excited for it, though.
Yeah. Everyone's like, she's dropping it soon. She's retiring soon. I'm like, first of all, also stop saying the bitch is retiring.
No, don't give her that idea.
One, don't give her that idea. And two, just because she is 43 now, it's like, who, she's not retiring. Stop throwing that on her.
Yeah, she's 43 now, yeah.
Tina Turner had the best era of her career in her 40s.
I was just gonna say, you know who sounds better than ever right now is Kylie Minogue. Like, when you go and see her live, the vocal is, and I mean, you think, oh, that, well, she's not like a Maria Callas type vocalist. She sounds fabulous, and she's in her mid to late 50s.
Yeah, baby, I don't hear any tension in that voice.
No, nor tension too. And that's because she's not using those songs because they're not that good.
Yeah, they are. They are horrible songs. You know what? Shout out to the disco era.
I have come to appreciate it more and more, and in fact bought a disco album chain recently because I've always loved the song Say Something, but I've come around to the rest of the album too.
Yeah, I have a K necklace around here somewhere. It's for Kylie Minogue or whatever you choose it to be.
Any Kardashian you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually bought two more, and I love wearing all three of them at once.
Oh, I'm sure you'll fit right in there. Jesus Christ. On that note.
The Kylie Kids Club. Duh.
I think the KKK is your favorite reference in the history of Keep It. It's come up quite a bit.
Baby, I love the KKK. Okay? Oh, KKK?
That's what you always say.
Actually, one of my running bits, sort of like Rufnega on the podcast, one of my running bits IRL with friends is whatever one of the, like, you know, people love to, millennials love to add extra letters to words
yes.
in their typing. Whenever a friend says, like, oh, KKK, I'm always like, but watch them K words.
Cute. Love your comedy.
Thank you. Well, it's over.
I can't believe it. I mean, to be honest, I've been in denial about this moment. I can't believe, one, I never expected to be doing this podcast without you. So we'll see how my mental state progresses as I continue doing this podcast, which I'm happy to do. And I'm excited to bring the listeners along with me.
And I'll be listening. And I'll be in the comments.
Oh, okay. That's kind of a good gig for you. I like you as a troll of this podcast now. Kind of Willem energy, if you will. Yeah.
Kind of like Bethany.
Yes.
You know? Kind of like one of those housewives who leaves and yet they're still watching and commenting yes. all the time. I could actually start a Keep It Listening podcast and just review each episode as it drops.
Oh, good. Be vicious. Reveal secrets. Yeah.
I actually would love a fan to do a Keep It review podcast, but go back to the beginning. Has anyone ever done that for a podcast?
Oh, God. I mean, that would be pathetic, but they should do it. Yes.
I'll go back and listen to each episode and I'll do it
okay.
each week.
That can be what your Substack is about. Great.
Yeah. No, I'm going to take a nap.
That sounds like you also. I just want to say, for the past 7.5 years, literally going to see a movie, listening to any song, any album, whatever, knowing I would get to come here and discuss it with you and you would already have some take that I would either love or fucking hate, was very motivating and very fun. So even though I'm continuing on with the podcast, an era of my life is closing too. And I'm like nostalgic, but also thrilled for you. And also there's absolutely no way we won't do some live bullshit sometime in the future where we're discussing pop culture. So this is not the end.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is the end for this Rufnega.
You know what? I guess it is. Get the fuck out. All right. Well, I will be back next week. Ira will not be. Maybe he'll drop by sometime in the future if some topic begs for him to be here. We'll see. But in the meantime, I'll be here and we'll have some guest hosts and we'll chat things up and it should get offensive really quickly. So it'll be just like Iris here. We'll see you next week.
Don't forget to follow Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also subscribe to Keep It on YouTube for access to full episodes and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our producer is Bill McGrath. Our associate producer is Kennedy Hill. And our executive producers are Ira Madison III, Louis Vertel, and Kendra James.
Our digital team is Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, and Rachel Gajewski. This episode was recorded and mixed by Jarek Centeno. Thank you to David Tolles, Kyle Seglin, and Charlotte Landis for production support every week.
Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
And as always, Keep It is filmed in front of a live studio audience.